All right, let's take our book of Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah. Remember, we finished chapter 30 out of order by my error, and we're in chapter 29, and last week we got down to verse number 18, Jeremiah 29 and verse 18. So let's read verse 18, 19, and 20, talking about the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin that are going to be taken into Babylonian captivity. Let's read verse 18, 19, and 20 together. And I will persecute them with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, and deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. All right, in verse 18, he's going to be persecuted with the sword. Which ones is he going to persecute with the sword, verse 18? What's the background of that? Those that are still in Jerusalem, and they're going to be persecuted with all these things, sword, famine, pestilence, and removed to all the kingdoms to be a curse and astonishment and a hissing. And who drove them to these different nations? Who made them go? The Lord himself, whither I have driven them. Now the cause of this driving them away in verse 19, and those of you who are listening, if you want to call in, we can talk to us also. What is the cause of his driving his people out of Jerusalem and over into Babylon? That's thousands of miles there. What's the cause of it? Because they did not hearken to his words. Does the Lord have a great affection for his words? Does he mean business when he says something? He expects them to be followed, doesn't he? How do we know what his words are about? How can you and I know that even today? We have to read our Bibles and then ask the Lord, please help me to understand what I'm reading, and then help me to do and put into practice what thou wast having to do. Because they have not hearkened. What would that word hearken be?
Listen.
Listen in what sense?
Listen and obey.
Listen and obey. In other words, that you can hear something, but to hearken, it almost means that it goes into your heart. And you understand it, and you can really see it. A lot of people hear noise, but to hearken means to take advantage, as Dan says, and to obey my words. That's why we stress our King James Bible. We're in the battle for the words of the Lord today, and the Hebrew and Greek words that underlie our King James, and we've got to maintain that battle. Now notice, how did the Lord... Yes, Bob? Yes, hark. Yes.
I've never heard that before, but that was my wife.
Yes. That's one of the Christmas songs, isn't it? What is it? Hark, the herald angels say. Okay. All right, and so the hearken is important. Now, the ones through whom these words are committed, in Jeremiah's day, who were the ones that gave these words to the people? Prophets, all right? And is my servants... does a prophet, should a prophet, or did a prophet just raise himself up without being called to the Lord? Is that what a prophet is supposed to do in the Old Testament? No. Some did. They've got false prophets, haven't they? Did Jeremiah just all of a sudden say, I want to be a prophet? No. As we see in Jeremiah chapter 1, he was called to the Lord right from a little child. And the Lord says, you go and tell them my words. We don't have prophets as such today, but what do we have today that should be giving out the words of the Lord? We have pastors. We also have parents. Yes, Anna? We have mothers and fathers. Yes, Anna? Teachers. We have a very reliable source, and that's the Word of God. That's right, absolutely. And so that's what we must hearken to. And he's, I have sent unto them by the servants. Now, did they just once in a while give the words of God, these prophets, these true prophets in verse 19? Was there an urgency? Rise up. They didn't wait and stay in Bethlehem that early in sending them. In other words, it's an early approach. The old proverb, early to bed, early to rise, makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's what they say, early to bed, early to rise. But they're sending them early. In other words, expeditiously, and he didn't wait. He sent them out. And what was the result? What was the bottom line? What was the effect? Anna?
Doesn't it say
Yes, it does. It's vain to stay up late and rise up early. Because there you're burning your candle at both its ends. What does that say about the candle? Remember that little saying? My candle burns at both its ends. It will not last the night. But I, my foes, and all my friends, it gives a wonder, what a glorious light. Remember that? My candle burns at both its ends. Now, if you rise up, if you stay up late, rise up early, there's very little sleep, isn't there? But these prophets apparently went to bed early and rose up early, so they got their 12 hours or 10 hours or 8 hours or whatever. So, but you're right, Anna. It's vain to stay up late and rise up early. But God sent them early, and what was the result and the effect? How do you know that, Anna?
That verse.
It's in the Bible, absolutely. It's vain. It's in the book of Proverbs, I believe. Vain to stay up late and rise up early. What is the bottom line? Anna?
Psalm 127.
Psalm 20?
127
verse 2. That's what it is there? Okay. Well, that's good. 127 verse 2. All right, we got that straightened out. All right, it's vain. So what was the effect of the sending the prophets, rising up early and sending? What happened? They wouldn't listen. That's a terrible thing. Do people always listen to God's words? No. Do they really want to follow God's words? Do even some Christians not want to follow God's words? Yes. That's a sad thing. Now, it's very incomprehensible to me. If a person has been born again, if he's been saved, has the Lord Jesus as not only his Savior, but his Master, his Lord, seems like, you know, whatever thou wouldst have me to do, Lord, that should be the heart's desire. But somehow or another, people say, well, I don't want to do that. Anna?
The flesh is saying,
that's right, the flesh is strong. The world, the flesh, the devil, they all fight against the will of God, the words of God. But they would not hear. Now notice, hearken and hear in the same verse 19. Any difference? What does it mean? Hearken and hear. Not hearken, would not hear. What does would mean? Sometimes it just means in the futurity, but would means the past tense of what word? Today I will do something. The past tense of will, that's right. They would not. In the past tense, it means I do not want to. I do not have any will, no wish to do it at all. I will not hear. You see, there's a difference between just not hearing and not hearing just accidentally, but they don't have a will to hear. They're stubborn. They're closing their ears, almost as if they stopped their ears. Isn't that what they did with Stephen as he was telling the gospel in Acts chapter 7? I think, didn't they stop their ears and they cried out and away with him and so on, they stoned him. If it's not Stephen, it's someone in the scriptures, they stopped their ears, it mentions. And they will not, they don't want to hear, saith the Lord. Now in verse 20, what does God say about his word? Here's you know, to hear it. Hear therefore the word of the Lord. Who's he going to want to hear that in verse 20? In captivity, that he sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, that's a long trip, isn't it? A long trip from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon over the Fertile Crescent, and now Iraq, that's present-day Iraq, and hear the word of the Lord. Now, the people that were in Jerusalem didn't hear the word of the Lord, didn't hearken to the word of the Lord, even though the prophets rose up early and sending them saying they would not hear. So now God says, all right, you sin, you're going to go over here. Now, once you're there, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. You wouldn't hear it here, now you better hear it there. You're in captivity. That's a sad thing. But the Lord does give them a second chance, doesn't he? But he wants them to listen and hear and be careful. Just like Jonah gave him a second chance. Hear the word of the captivity and went to Babylon. Let's read verse 21, 2, and 3 together. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Coliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before their eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. All right, what does the Lord want the captivity in verse 21 to know? What does he want to tell them? What is it? Who he is, all right. He's the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He's got two different titles. And what does hosts mean again? The armies. That's right. Sabaoth. That's the Lord of the armies, all the armies of heaven. Millions upon millions of angelic hosts and the heavenly hosts proclaim. And this is at the birth of the Lord Jesus. The hosts of heaven were there. And there's some lying prophets here. What are their names? What are these lying prophets' names in verse 21? Ahab and Zedekiah. Now, they prophesy. Now, Zedekiah was also a king. Ahab was also a king. But it seems to me these are, well, they could be still, but it's the son of Koliah. And I think that the king Ahab was a little different. And he was maybe already dead by that time. But Zedekiah was a king back in 2 Kings chapter 24. I think Ahab was, I think these probably are prophets that are the same name, but different parentage, son of Kariah and Messiah, son of Messiah and son of Koliah. Probably the pedigree is given so they wouldn't confuse it with the kings. I suppose that would be the way I would look at it. And what do they prophesy? What is their prophecy? Do they prophesy the words of the Lord? A lie. Why would a prophet prophesy a lie, do you suppose? Well, that's what people want to hear. Do sometimes ministers and preachers prophesy a lie? Do the Roman Catholic priests and does the Pope prophesy lies? What is it? Prophecy's done away with. That's true in this day. If what I mean, but do they preach lies? You want to change it to preaching these days. We don't have any prophets, that's true. But they preach things that are not true. What are some of the lies that the priests and the Roman Catholic Pope preach and speak and believe today? All the priests and so on. What are some of the lies? Anna. Mary is the mother of God. Well, she's the mother of the Lord Jesus. It's true in the sense, but not the mother of... Well, that's true, but the mother of the Lord Jesus, it can't be the mother of God. See? We would disagree with the mother of God. We would say the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Theotokos. See, that's a Theotokos. That's what they call Theos is God and Tokos the mother. But he's perfect God and perfect man. And so you can't be the mother of God, but you can be the mother of the Son of God. And through the human birth, perfect humanity, she was the mother of the perfect humanity. Error number one. What's error number two? The Roman Catholic lies that are preached and told today. Anna? Well, sometimes they believe that. The modernists teach that Joseph was a real father. I don't think the Roman Catholics believe that, but Joseph is a real father. The liberals and modernists believe that either Joseph or some other German soldier, that it wasn't a virgin birth, in other words. Other things that prophesy lies either and preach lies either from the Roman Catholics or the Protestant liberals. What is it? The communion of the saints, that is, you can talk to the saints and pray to the saints, and the saints can help you. Remember, they had that whole litany of the saints when the Pope was being inaugurated or something, and they mentioned St. Matthew and St. John and St. this, St. that. That's the third thing. Hello?
Chapter?
Yes.
They believe on purgatory.
Okay, that's purgatory number four. Any others?
Yep, and they also believe that you're eating the blood of Jesus.
That you're what?
You know, you're having it, you're substantiating it each time. You're actually drinking the blood and eating the body.
Yes, as far as the communion, the Eucharist and the, that's right, the Mass. That
you're eating it for a minute.
Okay.
And then too, I look at that when you're talking about the prophesying and stuff like that, I look at them Pentecostals and they believe that we have apostles and prophets and
that's,
all that stuff.
That's
so
right.
They lie.
The Pentecostals are lying, saying that we still have prophets and prophesy and add to the words of God. That's absolute. That's a lie. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Wendy. That's good. Anything else? Anything
yes,
else?
That's it.
Okay.
No.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
All right. So, what are the things?
Uh-huh.
All right, so the confession of the priests, they're going to the human person and confess the sins of the priests that are going to the Lord Jesus in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And what about the purgatory? Wendy mentioned that purgatory. Is there a medial place?
No.
When you go to purgatory, according to the Roman Catholic lies, what must you do to get out of purgatory?
You have to pray for
it. And listen to the prayers. Indulgences, which means
that they're paying
you have to pay a little money, see? Now, is there any guarantee, according to the Catholic law, that you can get out of purgatory? Is there any limit to it? Do they know, or they just hope so? Well, maybe so. Now, did the Pope go to purgatory? Did the Pope go through the Roman Catholic belief in purgatory? Did he land up in purgatory? They thought he was looking down from heaven. That's what it said in his death. What is it? Yeah, fine. Really? Some of them thought it was the purgatory? Different theories. Well, if the Roman Catholics believe the lie that there is such a place as purgatory, and that people that go there to purgatory, and then after they do something else, they get to heaven, then he went to purgatory. See? But if they have some, maybe they had enough money that was paid. What was that? That's right, doesn't make it work. But I'm saying, according to their doctrine, what they think, see, there's no purgatory.
They don't want to give, they don't want to say, well, so long as you stop getting habitation.
Yeah. They don't want to ever release anybody from purgatory because the money will stop, the indulgence will stop in paying for that. There's no, so all these different lies that are preached, and it was all very obvious, and the fact that is the Lord Jesus Christ the only way to heaven in the Roman Catholic mass? In the Roman Catholic system, it's not. Works and penance and extreme unction and prayer for the saints and go through the church. And what about going through Mary? What was on the Pope's casket? What was on the Pope's casket? A wooden casket, very humble casket, but with gold nails. They said they nailed it with golden nails. That cost a little bit. What else was on that casket? Bon? A big M standing for what? Mary, that's right. See, he loved Mary. Now you have to go through Mary to Jesus. You can't go right to Jesus. You have to go through Mary. So lots of lies. And Protestants... My Savior, that's right, that she's lost. See, they have all these things that they've superimposed, that have the impeccability of Mary, that she's perfect, and that she's ascension of Mary, she's ascended up in heaven, and she's now the mediatrix, the mediator, all these lies. And the Roman Catholics are not the only ones with lies. We got Protestants that are lies. Protestants deny the virgin birth, that Mary was not a virgin, that Lord Jesus denied his deity, bodily resurrection, all kinds of things.
I think if you were friends of... Mrs. Barbara Bush, that you may have a greater opportunity to talk to her and get the president, because the president is still son of Barbara Bush. Not that she necessarily has to listen to her every single thing, but he's even more sympathetic to his mother than a complete stranger. So if we sneak around through Mrs.
Yeah.
Barbara Bush.
Yeah, that's the theory, isn't it? That's the theory.
And so that's why they say, yeah, certainly, you talk to Mary, then Mary can talk to, communicate with Jesus.
That's it.
I think that they're working enough to talk to Jesus. And that, I mean, you know, why they died for us. So
they're still in the covenantal system of the Old Testament law with the priesthood, running to the priesthood of his work.
All right, now, in verse 21, these prophets, the prophets have prophesied lies. What does God say he's going to do to them in verse 21? They're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and what will they do? What will Nebuchadnezzar do to them? All right, and verse 22 tells them how. What are they going to do? How's he's going to do? Roast him in the fire, burn to death, just like they used to do with witches and so on. Horrible, painful death, I'm sure. A horrible, painful death. They roasted in the fire some of our martyrs, you remember. First of all, they killed him, I guess, but then they burned him with fire. What was his name, Dan? What is it?
Wycliffe.
John Wycliffe was one. I think they killed him first and burned his body, did they not? You know what I mean, but...
Tyndale,
I think they took up his body from the grave and then burned it. John Knox, but in Martyrs, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, there were martyrs that actually were burned to death, terrible, painful.
Ridley,
yeah.
Hebrews 11,
yes, go ahead, read that, Dan. Latimer? Yeah, Ridley and Latimer. They were two different men that... Quenched the violence of fire, something like that, Dan, in Hebrews 11. Talks about the Old Testament prophets were faithful through the fire. Yes, Anna? Some through the fire. We sang that tonight. Some through the fire. You know, all through the blood. That's right. Some through the fire.
Verse 33.
Read that, Dan.
Put your faith into kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword.
Quenched the violence of fire.
Weakness made strong, waxed valiant. If I turn to fight the armies of the aliens,
yes. So this is what the faith that they had in the captivity, saying they make thee like Zedekiah, burn and roast it in the fire.
Verse 37.
All right, go ahead.
Verse 36 and 11 says, trial, of cruel mocking, and scourging, day moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts,
yes,
in mountains and dens and caves and of the earth. All these having came through your force of faith, received not the promise. God had promised some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Uh-huh. A lot of testimony in Hebrews 11 about the saints of the Old Testament. And God says in verse 22, he's going to make a curse, take up by a curse all the captivity, and make thee like Zedekiah, whom the Lord roasted in the fire. In other words, they're going to be judged because they don't believe what they should believe. And also because of what else in verse 23 is God going to judge those in captivity? Villainy. What is villainy? What is a villain? A bad guy. Okay, that's good enough. Villainy. And what is the next thing they've done? Committed adultery with their neighbor's wives. All kinds of adultery floating around in our country, just wild and woolly. It's a terrible thing, disgraceful in our nation, in our country, all over the world, and they think nothing of it. They just boast about it. But here, God says, because they've done this, there's going to be a problem. What else is the reason for God's judgment in verse 23? Spoken lying words in my name, pretending that they come from me. That's just on an equal plane with villainy and adultery. Speaking lying words. Now, there's words in the versions that we have today that are lying words. They're not true words. They're not accurate words. They're not faithful words. I'm right now on my radio broadcast, the five-minute broadcast I made out today, and I'll finish it tomorrow. I'm talking about the radio Bible class and the letter that they wrote out December 2004 to one of our friends in Ohio. He gave it to me when I was there in the meetings in Ohio, Euclid, Ohio. And there are 43 lies that they told in those letters and materials they sent from radio Bible class about the King James Bible. And one of them is, there's no problem with all the verses, and there's very little difference between anything. You know, nothing. Well, Dr. Jack Mormon's got over 8,000 differences in the Greek New Testament text from the King James text and the Greek. It's a lot of different lies, but lying words and in my name, which I have not commanded them. Now, that's so important. God wants us to be accurate in what he's commanded us. And even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. Let's read verse 24, 5, and 6 together. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehemiahite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Messiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in stocks. All right, so who is he supposed to speak to now? In that verse there. All right, Shemaiah, tell him something. And the Lord in verse 25 gives him a message. It's from the Lord, speak to the Lord of hosts. And what did this man do that God did not appreciate in verse 25? What did this man, Shemaiah, do? Sent letters in his own name, didn't he? Well, thus speaketh the Lord, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name. See, in other words, in his own name, as if it was some official thing, unto all the people, there Jerusalem, Zephaniah the priest, and all the priests, and What do the letters say in verse 26? What? Okay. See, he's saying to everybody, I am the big priest. I am the high priest. I am the best priest. And I'm the one that's to be the leader in the priesthood as far as the religious ceremony is concerned, instead of someone else. Jehoiada. But he was apparently God's priest. And what else did he say in his letters in his own name? Now notice, he's speaking to whom in verse 25? Speaking to all the people, and who else in verse 25? Yes, and who else? The last part of verse 25. To all the priests. See, he's taking upon himself that he's going to be the lead priest to the people and the priests. Anna?
Zephaniah,
okay. Zephaniah, that's right, son of Messiah. And he's, that's right, he's speaking to them and to all the priests. And he said that he should be officers in the house of the Lord. See, he's trying to appoint his own officers, his own crowd. Now, who is he going to appoint? In verse 26. Every man? What kind of man?
Crazy
man that's mad. And what else is he going to appoint? Maketh himself a prophet. Now, is that right? Should he make himself a prophet? Or should God call him to be a prophet? Anna? Zedekiah and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest. Apparently, they're two brothers. Apparently, it would seem that way. In verse 21, Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, which prophesied a lie, and here's Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest. So one is a prophet, one is a priest. Yes, one is a prophet, one is a priest. That's a good point, Anna. You brought that right out into the open so we can see it. All right. And so, making himself a prophet. Now, should preachers make themselves preachers? There's got to be a call of the Lord. The prophets in the Old Testament, they've got no business making themselves a prophet. God has to call them. Otherwise, you have a lying prophet. And what else did this letter say from Zephaniah? Or from this man, Shemaiah, I should say. In verse 26. I should put him in prison and in the stocks. Apparently, put Jehoiada, who is the real priest, in prison and in the stocks. Was Jeremiah ever put in prison? Yes, he was, and in the stocks, wasn't he? All right, let's read 27, 28, 29. Yeah, fine. Yes?
I looked up Hugh Latimer, 1485, /1565, was a martyr of the Protestant Reformation in England. Born at Thurstiston, England, he studied at Cambridge University, became a Roman Catholic priest. His refusal to condemn the view of Martin Luther concerning the church caused him to fall before Thomas Cardinal Wolsey in 1525 for investigation. But later, he was named one of the clergymen who were to examine the legality of King Henry VIII's marriage with Catherine of Aragon. His support of Henry made him a favorite of the king, who became Latimer of the chapel. So long, but I would like
Well, make it quickly, honey.
In 1535, Latimer became Protestant bishop of Worcester, but he resigned because he opened the sixth article which he thought favored from the Catholic. That's perfect. Later, the Roman Catholic King Mary had him arrested along with other Protestant churchmen. He was called before a church court and was condemned to be burned at the stake.
That is it, right there, burning. Hugh Latimer.
On October 16, 1551, Latimer and Nicholas Ridley.
Nicholas Ridley, yeah.
Balliol College, Oxford University. Remember?
Yep.
That I put in the Bible explained his commandment. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, and thy flesh shall never be put out. That was his
yes,
body
his body was being burned. Yes, terrible, terrible thing.
His martyrdom caused widespread sympathy for often to the Protestants.
Okay, well, thank you. That's Latimer and Ridley. Those two ones. Bradley, yeah, that's good. They were burned. Ridley Havgar from Ridley. That's right.
When I went to school, I know you want to hear this, but when I went to Bible school, I was on the side of it. His name was Ridley Latimer. They named it after him.
Okay. Let's read 27, 8, and 9 together. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For what? This is verse 27. 28. For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. All right. 27. What did this false prophet Shemaiah think about Jeremiah? Verse 27. Did he like him? He should be right. Why has he not reproved him? What does it mean to reprove somebody? Correct them, all right, to correct them, then to disagree with them, which make themselves a prophet. Did Jeremiah make himself a prophet? No, the Lord made him, didn't he? In chapter 1, he's called of the Lord, make himself a prophet. So Shemaiah was jealous of Jeremiah, the true prophet, and then, therefore, he sent unto us in Babylon. What did he say? What did Jeremiah say in Babylon, verse 28? And did he say the truth, or did he lie? Was he a lying prophet? What did he say? Captivity is long, 70 years. And so because of that, what were they to do? Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit. And so how did Jeremiah hear about this false letter of Shemaiah in verse 29? How did he hear about it? Zephaniah read it to Anna. What is it? God could have told him too also. But also it says in verse 29 that Zephaniah the priest read the letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Let's read verse 30, 31, and 32. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehemiah, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehemiah and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. All right, so what did Jeremiah's response be to Shemaiah in verse 30? And where did he get his authority? From the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Now, what was Jeremiah to do in verse 31? What was he to do? Tell them what the Lord said in the captivity. Those that are in the Babylonian captivity. Thus saith the Lord. Concerning what man? Shemaiah. In verse 24, he was the guy that wrote that letter, the man that was a false prophet. And what is the reason why God's going to punish him? Because. What has he done? Prophesied unto you, and I sent him not. And what else is this charge? This is in verse 31. Caused you to trust in Allah. See, all these different counts against him. It's bad enough that he prophesied on his own, and he didn't send him. God didn't send him. But trusting in a lie. Again, I go back to Rome. Trusting in a lie. Think of the millions that have listened to all that inauguration. Trusting in the lie. This is Rome. They're clapping. What a wonderful thing. So get all in this big spirit as if they, by Catholicism, could be saved through all these different icons and images and accepting Jesus only, the Son of God and God the Son. Terrible thing. Trusting in a lie. And that's what modernism and unbelief in the Protestant realm has done too. Trust people in a lie. And false versions. There's lots of lies in the false version. And then in verse 32, what's the result of that? What's God going to do to Shemaiah, this false prophet that God didn't send, that made people to trust in a lie? He's going to punish him. And his seed, isn't he? And not have a man to dwell among the people. Or behold the good. What is the reason in verse 32 that God gives? Not enough that he was not called of God. That he taught rebellion against the Lord. What is rebellion? Worse than witchcraft, was it? When you go against the Lord. Taught rebellion against. In other words, whatever the Lord says, don't do it. Teaching people rebellion against the Lord. Worshipping idols and listening to idols, but not the Lord. So this is the fate of Shemaiah, and it's really something that all of us should pay heed to in this country and world in which we live. We've got to follow the word of the Lord and nothing else, and listen to it carefully. Any other comments or questions on this chapter? Now remember, because of my error, we've already covered chapter 30. Now we've covered 29. Now next time we're going to go to 31. So we'll skip over to 31 where we should have been, but I was wrong in that. All right, any other comments or questions before we close? Yes. Well, he's going to be, his seed's going to, he's not have a man to dwell among his people, so apparently not. Apparently not. If he won't have a man to dwell, either that or they'll dwell somewhere else. If he does have a seed, they'll dwell somewhere, but not among God's people. They'll be banished. It's either one, see. Not a man to dwell, which means he's childless, or certainly if he has a child, can't be in the Israelite. He's not one of them, see. He's an outcast. So either one, that I think that you can understand. Any other comments or questions before we close? Yes, Fawn? Did they stop their ears? Good. Okay, I thought it was Acts 7. But Stephen, stopping their ears, not wanting to hearken. Any other comments? Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask Thee that Thou wouldst help us to understand Thy words. We thank Thee for a Jeremiah that's strong and true, sent by Thee, not to cause rebellion, but to cause people to follow Thy words. Help us, Lord, each one, as we teach others, as we talk to our friends, help us to encourage them to follow what Thy Word tells us and not to cause a rebellion in any sense of the word. And make us to be faithful to our Savior. Help us, Lord, to depart from anything that would be false and anything that would be a lie, anything that would be wrong and anything, villainy, adultery, all these other things that Thou hast caused people to be judged for in this chapter. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou mayest make us faithful. Be with each family represented here in our church tonight, those listening on the streaming video, wherever they may be. Guide us and direct us as a people that we may be wonderful soldiers holding the fort for our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming. And.